Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
And I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. And I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. So take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounding you in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just wanna be with you. I wanna be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory. In your I just wanna be with you. Thank you, Jesus. I just wanna be with you. Oh yeah. Said I just wanna be. I just wanna be with you. Turn your Bibles with me to Job chapter 30. Job chapter 30. And verse number 20. Job chapter 30, and we're reading verse 20. From the New Living Translation, it says, I cry to you, O God, but you don't answer. I stand before you, but you don't even look. This is a lamentation that Job lifted up before the Lord, crying out that, I call out to you, Lord, but you don't answer. And I stand before you, but you don't even look, or you don't even see me. There are times when as a child of God, you begin to wonder whether God hears you when you pray. This afternoon, I got a call from a daughter of mine who was talking about the fact that she's been praying for God to do certain things in her life, but she's not seeing them. And she said, I don't know what is happening. Says, I've prayed for a long time for a major breakthrough, but I'm not yet seeing it. And she's not alone. She's not the only person who feels that way. Many Christians get to a point in their Christian experience where they begin to worry and they feel very sad that God is not hearing certain specific prayers that they are lifting up unto Him. And there is a need to understand or to know the reasons why some prayers go unanswered. And I've been trying to take you through those reasons to help you to know what the possible causes could be why certain prayers are not answered. Hallelujah. And I've shared a number of them with you already. The first one I said to you was that there are some prayers, or one of the reasons why sometimes our prayers go unanswered is because we have evil, wrong, and selfish motives. And when you have wrong motives, your motive is the goal or objectives of your actions or your reasons for doing something. And if your motives are wrong, then it is likely that God will not answer your prayers. So one of the things you should check if you're not getting answers to your prayers or an answer to a specific prayer is the possibility that your motives may be wrong. They may be evil. They may be selfish. And God is not interested in answering prayers like that. Hallelujah. The second reason, because we do not really believe we will receive what we are asking for. Because the Bible says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So if you ask for certain things in prayer and you don't get them and you don't receive the answer you're looking for or the answer you're expecting, it could be that you did not really believe. Because what you really believe, you know, you don't have certain struggles. It's like you know that God is going to give this thing to you. And that's a sign that you really believe. So when you don't really believe, sometimes your prayers are not answered. Did I hear somebody say amen? And the third reason I shared with you is that our prayers are not answered some of the times because of doubt. Doubt means you are undecided or you are uncertain. You may be asking God for something, but you are not really certain about what you are asking for. Or you may be undecided about it. You know? So when that happens, you may not get the answer you're looking for. The Bible says that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. And that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So if you have doubts, if you have uncertainties, if you are full of indecision, then it's possible that a certain prayer that you're praying is not going to be answered. Hallelujah. Number four. The fourth reason why our prayers are not answered is because we lack confidence that God will grant us our requests. We lack confidence that God will grant us our request. Confidence has to do with assurance, certainty, boldness, firmness, resolution. So when you're confident, you are bold. And that's why the Bible says to us that let us come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us come boldly. That means let us come with confidence. And if we don't come with confidence, then God may not grant us our request. Number 5. The fifth reason why prayers are not answered is because of a lack of a real desire for the things we are praying for. Now, you may think that you really want them. You may think so. But your desire may not be a real one, may not be a deep one. And when the desire is not real, when the desire is not deep, when the desire is not intense, you may not get what you are asking for from the Lord. And when your desires are real and genuine and strong and intense, it shows. And I gave you this example of when a guy really wants to marry a lady. If he's serious about it, he wants to marry her almost immediately. That's a sign that the desire is strong and that the desire is intense and real. Hallelujah. Number 6. The sixth reason, which is where I got to, because of unconfessed sin and failure to do what is right. So in Psalm 66 verse 18 to 20, it says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. But the first part is what we are interested in. It says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. That is why we confess our sins often when we pray. You may have noticed that anytime we hold our prayer rendezvous, there's a segment for confession of sins. Some people are not happy about it, but you know, I don't really care at a point what somebody feels about something that I'm doing that I'm convinced about. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we don't confess our sins, and if we fail to do what is right, we should not expect that God will answer certain prayers. Hallelujah. All right, so now the seventh reason for an answered prayer is because we do not abide in Christ and his words do not abide in us. Because we do not abide in Christ and his words do not abide in us. That is one of the reasons why our prayers may not be answered. When we do not abide in Christ and when his words do not abide in us, we may not get answers to certain prayers. Look with me at John chapter 15, verse number 7. John 15, verse 7, from the New King James Version. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Now, there is a condition to what Jesus is saying. He says, you will ask what you desire. That means you will pray, and your prayer will be answered. It shall be done for you. But before he said that, he put a condition there and said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What it means, ladies and gentlemen, is that if we do not abide in Christ and his words do not abide in us, we may ask what we will or what we desire, and it may not be done for us because we are not abiding in Christ and his words are not abiding in us. Praise the name of Jesus. To abide in Christ means to remain in Him. To abide in Christ means He's the center, He's the focus, He's the concentration of your life. He's the center of your life. He's the one you are looking to. That's what it means to abide in Christ. To abide in Christ means you don't drift away from Him. You don't move away from Him. But you make Him the focus of your life. And He's the center of your existence. And then He says, and my words abide in you. The words of Jesus, if you have a good Bible, you'll discover that His words are written in red ink, red letter, to differentiate His words from the words of anybody else and everybody else. So if the words of Jesus, what He said, abide in you, you believe in them, you cling to them, you hold on to them as the words of life. He said one day in John 6:63, He said, it is the spirit which quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So when His words abide in you, those words have the tendency of giving you life and giving you answers and granting you what you desire. Another way of looking at the words of Jesus is to think about it in terms of the Bible, the Word of God, if you like. And ladies and gentlemen, when we pray, The word of God must guide our prayers. And the word of God must influence what we are praying about. If you are praying outside the words of Jesus, or you are praying outside the word of God, you are not likely to get answers. And there are people who pray a lot. They can spend hours praying, but they don't achieve much and they don't accomplish much because God's word is not abiding in them. And what they are praying for is not in line with the word of God, is not in line with the words of Jesus. So if you are praying that somebody should die, or that somebody should have an accident, or that somebody should lose his job, if you are praying and cursing that somebody should not have a child, my friend, the words of Jesus are not abiding in you. It's clear that you don't know what Jesus said. Perhaps the person has hurt you or offended you or done something painful against you. But if you are praying and cursing people and calling out, I have my own personal opinion about it. You know, sometimes when I hear people praying, they say, Holy Ghost, fire! Holy Ghost, fire! Holy Ghost, fire! Holy Ghost, fire! And anytime I hear it, it's usually in connection with that something bad should happen to somebody. You know, it's like the Holy Ghost fire should fall upon this person, the Holy Ghost should fire upon it. It's okay if you're praying that the Holy Ghost fire should fall on Satan or demons and all of that. But often I notice people using that expression, and you know, it concerns me. It concerns me because I really wonder whether it is biblical and it is scriptural to pray a prayer like that. You know, yes, there are places in the Bible where the judgment of God came upon certain people. For example, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, you know. They tried to deceive their pastor. And all that Paul said, this is in Acts chapter 5, he said to them that, why has Satan filled your heart to lie against the Holy Spirit? And he said to him that you have not lied to a man. That is to say, you've not lied to me, but you have lied to God. And then instantly, Ananias fell down and died. Then his wife Sapphira came. Peter also interrogated her to find out. Because what it was they had a piece of property. They went to sell it and they tried to deceive their pastor. That what they had brought in was everything that they got. I explained to them that there's no reason to lie about this thing. You don't need to. I mean, it is your money. So what do you want to give? Just give it. That's why we have to be careful when we make pledges or envelopes are being distributed for fundraising. Collect an envelope and what you said you will give, give it. Give it. There's no need to impress anybody. Because sometimes we are too concerned about what people think. It's like they are asking for 200 cedis. If I don't go, the girl can easily bounce me when I go and propose to her. So as I'm walking to go and take the envelope, I hope that she's watching me, can see that I'm a powerful giver. There's no need for all of that. You don't need to do any of those things. And Peter said to her that the people who took your husband away, they are at the door. And they are soon going to carry away, and she also died. So there are instances like that in the Bible. But I didn't hear Peter praying and say, Holy Ghost, fire! Holy Ghost, fire! Holy Ghost, fire! He left it for the Holy Spirit to do what he wanted to do. I'm explaining something to you. And the point that I'm making to you, my dear friend, is this. That we must abide in Christ if we want our prayers answered. And his words must abide in us if we want our prayers answered. And so you must know the words of Jesus. And you must know the word of God. And you must pray scriptures. Which is the reason why when we have our prayer rendezvous, you find out that there are a lot of scriptures. We have scriptures and we use the scriptures to guide our prayer. We are trying to let the word of God influence our prayer. That's a way of causing the words of God, the word of God, the words of Christ to abide in us. Can I have an amen from somebody? So don't just be somebody who prays a lot, but you are not into the word. You don't know the word of God. You don't know what the Bible says about different things, the different situations you're dealing with in your life. And unfortunately, this is the situation with a lot of today's Christians. They are not into the word. They are not into it. They don't know where to find what. They don't know what scriptures to apply to a particular situation that they are dealing with in their lives. And all they know is for somebody to pray for them, anoint them with oil, lay hands on them, and do all kinds of skirmishes. But God is calling on us to rise up, to know God for ourselves, to know his word, to abide in Christ. Let his words abide in us. Let the word of God dwell richly in our hearts in all wisdom. And let that word guide our prayers. If we do that, we will pray in line with the will of God, and we'll get a lot more answers than we are getting. Did I hear somebody say amen? Reason number 8 for unanswered prayers. The 8th reason for unanswered prayer is because we worry too much and are not thankful enough. We worry too much and are not thankful enough. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Can we read it together? Is it okay to read it together? Let's do just that. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Ready? Go. And thank him for all he has done. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So there's a clear instruction here. Don't worry. Tell your neighbor, don't worry, be happy. No, it's okay, it's okay. Don't worry, be happy. Tell another person. But look at this scripture again from the King James Version. It says, it's actually one of the first set of scriptures that I learned and memorized. You know, Philippians 4, verse 6 to 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Then verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Hallelujah. But now, the first part of it says, be careful for nothing. Verse 6. But in, so be careful for nothing means stop worrying. Stop worrying. You've carried your worries into your prayers. So you are praying, but the prayers you are praying are worrisome prayers. Because instead of your prayers being full of faith, they are full of worry. And some of us worry too much. And you've heard me say to you before that, tell me what problem of your life you've been able to solve by worrying. Tell me whether the worrying has made you feel better. Whether it has changed anything for you. Is there anybody who can testify to the power of worry? That anytime I worry, things get better for me. Can you show me by raise of your hand? I'd like to meet you because you'll be a very intriguing person to me. Ever since you started worrying about things, have things gotten better? No. On the contrary, things rather get worse. Things get worse. So why do we like to worry? We worry about everything. You worry about your marriage. You worry about children. You worry about your job. You worry about your health. You worry about your sanity. You worry about everything. And the dangerous one is where you get to a place, the worry becomes a part of you. If you are not worrying, you don't feel okay. Now, there are some people, they seem to enjoy worrying. Yeah. They seem to enjoy it and they worry all the time. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, where you had the Beatitudes and all of that, what's explained that? Why do you worry about what I'll eat? About what I'll wear? It says that police, the fowls of the air, they don't toil, they don't work, they don't have 8-to-5 jobs. But I take care of them. I feed them. And then he explained also that the flowers of the field, I dress them up, that even Solomon in all his splendor was not as gallantly dressed as the flowers which are there one moment. The next time we gather them into the fire. So he says, don't worry. That's when he said that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things you are looking for will be added. So put the worry aside and put the discouragement away. What key is that? Drop it. D. Why should I feel discouraged, and why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven, my home?
when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. So I sing because I am happy. Say that I sing because I am free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me.
Oh, yes. I took a decision that I am going to fight and resist every spirit of worry in my life. Took a personal decision. And anything that I feel is going to worry me, I stay away from it. So I stay away from certain people. I stay away from certain news. I stay away from certain social media platforms. Yeah, because I know that some of these things have a way of introducing a spirit of worry, a spirit of discouragement, a spirit of fear. So I choose to stay away from those things. Like somebody said, you cannot stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from settling in your head. You can do that. So control the things that you let into your life, into your head and into your mind. So stop worrying. Stop worrying. Did I hear somebody say amen? He said, go back to Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with. Say that again. With what? Say it again. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer, supplication, and notice that He includes thanksgiving. Apart from the worry problem which hinders our prayer, another reason why our prayers may not be answered is because we are not thankful. You see, thanksgiving gives you access into the presence of God. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. It means that without thanksgiving, you will not be given access into His presence. And if you don't have access into His presence, how would you have the opportunity to tell Him your problems, tell Him what you want, tell Him what you need? So, when our prayers are not answered, one of the things we should check for is whether we are grateful to God enough and whether we are thankful to Him enough. The problem with some of us is that we tend to dwell too much on what God hasn't yet done to the detriment of what He has already done. In other words, you are so focused and obsessed with what God hasn't done, you turn a complete blind eye to what He has already done. And you may not know that when you are grateful and thankful to God for what He has done, it paves the way for Him to do more. There are some people I struggle to do more things for Because the things that I did for them, I didn't feel that they appreciated them enough. It's a natural reflex reaction. That if you're dealing with somebody who is not grateful, somebody who is not thankful, you don't feel like doing anything for that person again. And it's the same with God. And it may explain why sometimes our prayers are not answered. So anytime there's something you are asking God for, remember to thank Him for what He has already done. And if you dwell a lot on what He has done, even if you are getting some bad ideas that God doesn't love you, God is not interested in you, as you remind yourself of what He has already done, you are able to stabilize yourself and tell yourself that if God has done this before, He will do it again. Hallelujah. So, because we worry too much and are not thankful enough, sometimes our prayers are not answered. The ninth reason, because we are not persistent enough. Because we are not persistent enough. To be persistent means to keep pressing on until you get what you're looking for. And we tend to give up very easily and so quickly. But those who are persistent are the ones who break through. As a matter of fact, if you look at anybody who has achieved anything great in this life or has amounted to anything in this life, there are different things that you will notice about that person. But one of them is that he or she is a very persistent person. That they press on, they never give up, they persist until they break through. So in Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8, New Living Translation. Matthew 7, 7 to 8. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. Now, take note. Okay, stay there. Verse 8. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Go back to verse 7. And notice that phrase, keep on. Keep on. It means persist. Persevere. Don't stop. Don't give up. Press on. Keep praying. Because there are times when you prayed, and you've not seen what you're praying for. You feel like giving up. But that's a mistake. Never give up. Persist in your prayers. And even though it tarries, it will come to pass. For the promise and the vision is for an appointed time. And what God has said concerning you, He will perform it and He will make all things beautiful in His time. So don't give up on God. Tell your neighbor, don't give up on God. Because He will not give up on you. Hallelujah. So when we are not persistent, we may not get answers to our prayers. Number 10. The 10th reason for an answered prayer is because we give up. So it's connected to not being persistent because we give up. Now look at this scripture in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. Let's roll. One day, Jesus told His disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Please don't stay with me. Back to verse 1. That they should always pray. And what does it say after that? I cannot hear ya. I cannot hear ya. And never give up. Never give up. Never give up. It continues. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people. But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Then it asks, will he keep putting them off? The answer is no. And Jesus says, I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? When you don't give up, it's a sign of your faith. When you give up, it shows that you don't have faith. And here in this story that Jesus narrated, this woman got what she wanted because she refused to give up. So don't give up. What is it that you've been asking God for and you've been praying about it for some time? Don't give up. Don't give up. I said, don't give up. It's been 5 years, but don't give up. It's been 10 years, but don't give up. It may even have been 15 years, but don't give up. There are people who receive a divine visitation from the Lord at a time and at a period where it looked like what they were looking for, they were never going to get. And God has his own timing when he does what he wants to do. What I know is that when God finally comes through, he does so at the time which is perfect, at the right time, and it is his time. You know, the struggle we go through is that we have our own expectations of when God should do certain things in our lives. But I try to explain to people that, did you say you've surrendered your life to him? If you have, then it means that you have agreed to his will, his timing, and his purposes for your life. So if you've surrendered your life to him, trust him to do what you are asking him for at the right time, at the right place. So till he does, don't give up. I know that it's not easy to wait. I know that waiting is torture. I know that waiting is torture. Especially when you don't understand why you cannot have what you are asking for. As far as you're concerned, you've done everything that you're supposed to do to get what you are asking for. But we need to trust God more. And we need to believe that he will come through for us at the right time and in the right season. One of my favorite phrases in the Bible, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. And it will come to pass for you, my friend. I said, it will come to pass for you. That which you are looking for, it will come to pass for you. That blessing you've been praying for, it will come to pass for you. That breakthrough you desire, it will come to pass for you. That open door you are waiting for, it will come to pass for you. I say to you, my friend, it will come to pass. Shout hallelujah. The 11th reason why our prayers are not answered is because we don't pray for the things God wants us to pray for. Because we don't pray for the things that God wants us to pray for. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, which means that there are certain things that God wants us to pray for. Which also means that there are certain things that he doesn't want us to pray for. Amen. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. One of the things that we have to become good at is identifying what God wants us to pray for and praying for those things. Which again is another reason why you must know the Word of God, because the Word of God contains the will of God. And if you pray according to His will, you know that He will hear you. And again, I'm saying to you that if we claim that we've surrendered our lives to Him, it means that we are saying that He should be in charge. And it means that we trust Him to do what is best for us. So in our prayer life, we should be interested in knowing what God wants for us. And you can know it through the Holy Spirit. Because His role in our lives is to guide us, is to teach us, is to lead us into all truth, among other things that He does. So you must know what God wants for you. And you must understand that if you keep praying for things that God doesn't want for you, He will not answer those prayers. He will not. You must appreciate the fact that God knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. And He knows what is best for you. That's why we sing, Onim nyo ye mame. Onim nyo ye mame. Dum fu nyame. Onim nye ye. Onim nye ye mame. He knows what is good for me. So it's in your best interest when you are praying to focus on what God wants for you, because He knows what is best for you. I mean, if you have a little child and at the age of 8, he comes to you and says that, I want iPhone. What's the latest version? 15. 15 Pro Max. The 15 series. Daddy, when is my birthday? In October. This is what I want you to buy for me. iPhone 15 Pro Max. You're joking. I'm your father. And you've come to me 8 years old and you are asking for iPhone 15 Pro Max. How much is it? 23,000. 23,000. Which is my name? So be away, Jimmy. Yes, sir. Meaning 23,000. And cut iPhone 15 Pro Max. Emma, what would you name my name? It will not happen. But if you come to me and you are asking for a math textbook, hey, a math textbook, or you want to go for AI classes, or you want to learn how to do coding or robotics, hey, even before you finish saying robotics, who can run up? Catch yourself, Afa. Tell me, maybe I have coach. I'll pay for you to go. Please stop this iPhone 15 Pro Max thing. Hey. But why won't I give it to an 8-year-old child? Why? Why won't I buy such a phone for him? Does he need it? He can handle it. Do you know that there are some things that God has refused to give to you because you can't handle them? Look, God is working on us. He's working on us, and he knows that sometimes the way we are, if he brings certain things into our lives, you better say, yeah. He knows that. He knows that very well. You have been praying that, God, give me a wife. God, give me a wife. God, give me a wife. You, a wife. You say you want a wife. You are just coming to worry somebody's daughter because you are very irresponsible. You have not learned how to take care of yourself. You are going to collect somebody's precious daughter. You don't know how to talk. You are a bushman. You don't know how to treat a lady, somebody's daughter, somebody's precious daughter. What about the jejun? What about any defe defe? God is not going to give you a wife because he knows that you'll be a problem. He's not going to bring you that wife. He's not going to bring you that husband. That job that you are asking for, that if he gives you that job, he knows very well that within 2 weeks he'll be UAD. Because you're a bad worker. Why is it that you are expecting that everything should work out instantly in your life? Do you not know that to get to the top, you got to climb up gently? Why the rush to get to the top? I tell you, if you don't climb gently and you get to the top, you will fall down. When you sube brew, you will fall down. And you can easily destroy yourself. So there are certain opportunities that God will not bring your way because you cannot handle them. And you shouldn't be praying for those things. And the last reason, because God has a different agenda for our lives and has chosen according to his own counsel not to answer certain prayers. God has a different agenda for our lives and has chosen according to his own counsel not to answer certain prayers. That's the last reason. The 12th reason for an answered prayer. God has a different agenda for our lives and has chosen according to his own counsel not to answer certain prayers. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, 6 to 10 and let us close. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6 to 10. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I'll be telling the truth. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. But I won't do it. That means I won't boast. Because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God. So Paul was somebody who had a lot of powerful revelations. He was caught up into the third heavens and saw things and heard things that he was not allowed to talk about. And you see, sometimes when you have these deep spiritual experiences, there's a tendency for it to get into your coconut and you become proud. So now Paul is explaining what happened to him. He says, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, I shan't take it away. He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Now, that's difficult for us to handle. That's difficult. That it may be that certain struggles and challenges we are going through in our lives, God has allowed them. I know we don't like the sound of that. I know that we feel very uneasy to think that there's something that you are going through that God has permitted that it should happen. But I tell you that there are instances when God does that because he's working on us. And he uses all those experiences, the painful ones, the difficult ones, the trying ones. He uses our pain, our sorrow, our heartache. He uses all those things to work out his perfect purposes for our lives. So Paul says, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Then he says, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, in the hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It is not very clear what the thorn in Paul's flesh was. There are different opinions about it. But I think that one possibility could be the sufferings and the persecutions and the tribulations he went through. Remember that when Christ arrested him and apprehended him on the road to Damascus, and when God spoke to Ananias the prophet to go and pray for him, Jesus spoke to Ananias, said, go and talk to this guy and talk to him, because I'm going to use him and he's going to go through things. There are a lot of things he's going to suffer for my sake. And you will notice that Paul, virtually everywhere he went, now trouble, now issues. Everywhere he went. One day he said, look, let no man trouble me. Because I bear in my body the marks of Christ. And everywhere he went, issues. There'll be an uproar. People will rise up. There are instances when he was stoned. There were times when he was shipwrecked. He had been beaten with rods. Been through a lot of things. So I personally think that the struggling, the pain and all those things could have been the thorn that he was referring to. But then again, that's my opinion. But the point is this, that all that he was going through, all the hardships, all the struggles, all the persecutions, all the tribulations, all the insults, all the abuse, God wanted things to stay just that way. Yeah. That's how God wanted it. Remember that he prayed thrice that God should take it away. God said, I ain't taking nothing away. 3 times he prayed. And God said, no, I'm not minding you at all. It is staying. It is not going. And all that God told is that my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not taking it away, but my grace is sufficient for you. Yeah. That's why your husband is not dying. Yeah, because you've been praying about it. Please speak the truth. You've been praying about it. I don't know if people pray, Holy Ghost, fire, Holy Ghost, fire, Holy Ghost, fire. Anytime you are doing that, your husband that you are thinking about, he won't mind you. You need him. How you need him. Who said, because you had that kind of husband, why you cool? When you're and it's good for you. Because when you are humble, then God can lift you up. Yeah. The prayers you are praying about your boss, the reason why God is not answering is that your arrogance is too much. So the final reason why God may not answer certain prayers is because he doesn't want to answer those prayers. And there's a reason why he doesn't want the situation that you are praying about to change. These, ladies and gentlemen, are at least 12 reasons for an answered prayer. And I pray and trust that armed with this knowledge, your prayers will be more guided and will be more directional. And that you would have a deeper understanding about why certain prayers are answered and why other prayers are not answered. God bless you. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise to your feet and let us close.
Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we are thankful to you for this evening and thank you for your word. We pray in the name of Jesus that this word will stay and will remain and abide in us. I pray, Father, that armed with this knowledge and this understanding, may we have far more purpose and direction in our prayer lives. And may we be sensitive to everything that your Spirit is saying to us as we bring up certain petitions before you. I know, Father, that you are a prayer answering God. And you delight in answering the prayers of your people. And when their prayers are not answered, there are reasons why it is so. But thank you, Father, that when we pray in accordance to your will, you hear us. And that's the confidence that we have in you. Teach us, oh God, to pray in line with your will, to understand what your plans are concerning us, to know the stumbling blocks and the hindrances to the answers to our prayers, and guide us away from any error that leads to unanswered prayer. I thank you for your word that has come forth in Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say amen. Put your hands together for Jesus once again. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.